right, as promised, we have Rob Ninkovich live in the studio. Hey, Rob.
Hello.
Thanks for coming down.
Hello, everyone. Yeah. To paint the picture, he still has a beard.
Well, that's good.
It's not as large.
Which he colored a couple times in the offseason.
No color here. I got like three gray hairs in here. You can check it out.
That's all right.
Maybe one day I'll start coloring it. My old man, you know, he's all gray. So
in NFL years, like dog years, you're pretty old.
I mean, I'm 30. No. I just turned 30. I feel great.
Yeah, but
you know?
this is your 10th year?
No, this is my ninth. I'm not double digits yet.
Okay. He goes, no.
No. This
no, but,
is
but even
but listen, I don't count the first three because, you know, there was no tread taken off the tire. Again,
it's true.
You know, I only, this is really my fifth year, you know, actually playing football.
Well, I wasn't talking about less durability, more just the average career in the NFL is like 2.5-3 years. So, I mean, it's
definitely. I beat the odds. But,
right. That's
again,
what I'm getting to.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I don't want to say anything, but when he spoke with the media earlier, I was stunned when he said he hasn't missed a game since 2009. And you don't worry about, like, jinxing yourself and, you know.
That's what the offseason's for.
Right.
That's why I work so hard.
Well, speaking of the offseason, what have you been doing? We hear about, you know, Brady and Belichick playing golf in Pebble Beach and Gronk is Gronk. What are you doing in the offseason? Anything interesting?
Well, I'm traveling around. You know, I didn't nice, beautiful sandy beaches, which would have been nice, but you know, when you have family in Chicago, family in New Orleans, and a 9-month-old, you got to make your rounds, right? So, you know, went out to Chicago, see the family, stayed out there, you know, 3 weeks. You know, had to go down south, see the family, stay there 3 weeks. So,
right.
You know, just travel around a little bit, see everybody, and, you know, introduce them to my little daughter. And,
you enjoying the fatherhood thing?
Yeah, it's a little bit challenging. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. You know, I'd say 2 weeks ago I could sit her down and put a couple toys in front of her and she was good. Now she's behind the couch or, you know, trying to climb up the stairs.
What's this electrical socket?
Yeah, exactly. Baby-proof everything. Yeah. So, you know, again, it's the first time. It's not easy, but, you know, it's definitely fun and, you know, I'm enjoying it.
That's great. So, you had media availability earlier today, and I'm sure, or maybe I'm not sure, but I'm wondering if anyone talked to you about how last year ended in terms of your participation and Chandler's participation, because those who count the snaps said that you guys were like up around 95-96% of the snaps. Is that something that, as the season progressed, was talked about and it was like, hey, you guys just have to take them because of lack of depth, or is that the way you wanted it, you know? And how do you feel about taking that many snaps, you know, over the course of a season?
It took me a long time to get on the field, so I want to stay on as much as possible, you know what I mean? So, you know, again, I personally, you know, it wasn't a big deal to me. You know, again, we do some multiple things on defense to where it's not like, you know, I'm rushing every single time. But, again, you know, I pride myself on being on the field and being consistent. And, you know, if I was on the field thinking I wasn't helping the team or, you know, getting my butt kicked all the time, I'd come off. But, you know, I feel like I'm competitive in the fourth quarter and, you know, I'm not getting run off the ball. I'm still making plays in the run situation. So, you know, again, I'm just going to go through it as always, the off season, train hard, you know, push myself to be in great condition. And, you know, whatever it is that is, I'll be out there playing hard and, you know, again, I don't complain about being on the field, you know, again, because when you're off the field, it's not a good feeling.
It's such a copycat league. You know, the Seahawks win the Super Bowl, so then everybody starts looking at what they do. And, you know, they've got a pretty good rotation on, you know, defensive end, so everyone's like, well, that's how you have to do it. You know, how do you – did you hear that kind of stuff? Or
I mean, you see their success in certain things, but, again – people run their defenses differently. I mean, you know, I'm sure that there's a little bit of different communication as far as how the defenses run. And, you know, again, I guess it's a little wild to see a guy, you know, have finished the season with 18 tackles and half of them are sacks, you know, 8 sacks. You
right.
know, me, it's like 92 tackles and 8 sacks. So, right, you know, right. It's just the production, you know, is obviously different with as much rotation and, you know, the things that are asked to do of certain guys. If you just run up the field and run past the quarterback and, hey, you know, you did your job, but not here. You know, Bill be losing his mind on the sideline if you're behind the quarterback. So, you know, again, it's just different schemes, different ways to do things, and you know, there's always, you know, a way to play defense that is going to be different than the way the other people play defense.
I remember talking to you last year, and you talked a little bit about how you felt like teams were treating you a little differently, approaching you differently, that maybe, you know, years past they were kind of getting to know who you were as a player and you were sort of newer to the defense. Did you learn from last year over that experience in terms of how teams blocked you, running away from you, different things they did to you and stuff that maybe will benefit you this year moving forward?
Yeah, I mean,
I know you
always,
keep a notebook. You get a little.
Yeah, I get
you
a little, notes. You know, I keep all my stats down. But right. You know, when I go back and if you look at a lot of the plays, you know, again, as opposed to my first couple of years in the league, I think I was being noticed, and then now they know, like, okay, this guy's a good football player. We can't just expect that he's not going to be around the ball or make a play. You know, especially people that are in the division, teams that are in the division, they know. You know, when you go against somebody for a couple years in a row and two times a year, they know that, you know, you're going to be out there making some plays. So, in offensive tackles, they do a lot of studying as well. So they see the things that you do, you know, then their tendencies and all that stuff. So you gotta change with how they're adapting to how you're playing. And that's all part of the game. You know, it's the game within the game, as they say.
You've got your notebook, and then everyone has their notebook on
exactly,
you.
Exactly.
It's a chess game.
Mm-hmm.
As one of the vets out there, how would you say Jamie Collins' game progressed? How have you seen him?
Oh, Jamie, you know, again, I've spoke before about, you know, just his athletic ability. Definitely a tremendous athletically gifted person. And he, you know, I think, again, when you're a rookie, you got to get your confidence. You got to get on the field. You get your feet wet a little bit. Make a couple plays, and it just kind of snowballs from there. So, again, I think that he's going to have a great second year coming in and, you know, knowing the system, what to expect, and the expectation of what the Patriots have. And, you know, it's not easy when you're coming in. You don't know what to expect. You know, how is it run? How's the team? You know, and this isn't the easiest place to play as far as, you know, when you're in college. If you go, I don't know what his record was. I don't think he won many games.
They didn't win any last year.
Yeah, they didn't win any games.
Over.
So that you go from a team that doesn't
win
any games.
Score out there?
And you come to a team that if you lose two games, you know, the season is, you know.
It's the end of the world.
Yep. Oh, my gosh. You know, that's happened a few times, you know.
Yep.
But
and we're usually leading the charge.
Oh, that's that. That's
they lost in Miami?
Yeah. The Giants and the Bills,
right?
You know,
but you know, Bill always says, you know, do your job. And so, for a guy like you, does it get a little bit easier to do your job as you start having more confidence in the guy behind you, like a Jamie Collins?
I mean, defense, they work. Everyone has to know their assignment, play their responsibilities, but also know, you know, what the guy next to him has, the guy behind him has, the safety. You know, it all works together. So the more your knowledge of the defense, you know, progresses, then you are more comfortable with how everything's supposed to go and where guys are supposed to be. And, you know, I think that as you grow older in the league, you become more comfortable with that. And, you know, just the basic pressures of the game. I mean, there's going to be times where you can't hear, you don't get the call, but you got to know their signals. You got to know, you know, what's going on. Look at the sideline, see what they're saying. You know, there's the signal callers, there's the guys that are calling the play, but it's up to you to get the play. So, you know, there's times where it's too loud and you can't hear what the Mayo or Hightower is saying. So, you know, then I got to look over, see what they called, or, you know, ask somebody for a signal, and then you go from there. So, and that just, again, that comes with, you know, being on the field. That goes a long way.
Yep. You just, you mentioned Collins' athleticism, and that's, who are the best athletes on this team? Pound for, but just... all things considered, who are some of the best athletes
all
on this
team? All things considered, I would say.
And you can't vote for yourself.
Yeah. You know, I get the most out of what God gave me, and I'll say that. You know, I'm not saying I'm not athletic, you know, by any means. When you can get around a 320-pound guy, you got to be somewhat athletic. But, you know, everyone, yeah, that's one thing, too. Oh, right place, right time. Oh, yeah, that you know, right place, right time, if it happens over and over again.
Right.
You know,
it's more than just luck.
It's more than just luck, obviously. Right. So
it becomes a pattern.
Yeah. It's not like it happened once. But, you know, again, you know, Jamie, he's a freak of nature. Hightower, when a guy's 275, you're not supposed to move like he does. So, you know, he's a freak. Steve, I would say Gutkowski, he's an athletic guy.
Vote for the kicker in the top three.
Those kickers.
I mean, when you go golfing with a guy and he can, you know, do the whole Tiger Woods, you know, golf ball, tap, hit it on the fly. That's pretty good. I mean, he's a baseball
player. Plus, he could strike you out.
Eye-hand coordination. I mean, and, you know, I can't kick a football like he can. So you got to be pretty athletic to be able to do all that stuff. And, you know, Sebastian, Nate, I mean, when you're
those guys don't make guys like that.
Yeah. I mean, how could you move like those guys do in, you know, you're 6'8", 6'9", and, you know, bench 500 pounds? Like, that's the guy I got to practice against. Right. That's Seabass. So,
and I don't think people know that about Sebastian, that he's that strong.
He is the strongest man.
Really?
Yeah. He is very strong. I mean, he can rep 405 for like 10. He's very strong, man. I mean, and again, his whole game is about like his punch. So if you ever watch a game, just try and watch him with like a corner or a safety trying to blitz, and he punches them, and they literally fly the other way.
It's like Thor with the hammer. It's
right. You just grab them and throw them. Right. So
and we do. I mean, you look at some tackles, and they're a little beefier, a little thicker around the. We have tackles that look like supermodels,
like super tight ends.
Yeah, you see him put on a suit, and it's not. I mean, it's
no. Like Solder, he looks like a tight end.
Yeah,
you know? But he's 315 pounds. But
he's like what, 6'8"?
Yeah, I mean, it's just
huge.
Ridiculous.
He's
they
huge.
Can reach out and grab you from.
It's unbelievable.
You know, 2 yards away.
And then Alfonso, you know, that guy, he can jump like out the gym. So again, he's got like springs in him, but. So many. We got a lot of athletic guys. So
yeah, well, that's a great thing about football. This comes in all shapes and sizes.
Yep.
Thoughts on Vince Wilfork back in the fold?
Yeah. You know, definitely happy that he's here. And you know, knowing that I can look inside and see a big V in there, you know, it's definitely confidence boosting. Mm-hmm. You know, so again, when you play with somebody for a while too, me and V, you know, good relationship. He can tell me what he's going to do. You know, I could say something to him, just one word, and he'll know what I'm trying to get, you know, get done. So, and that comes with time and on field snaps that you guys are together. So I'm happy he's here. And, you know, he's definitely a valuable piece to our defense.
We talk about sometimes on here leadership and just the different types of leaders. Seems like this team has a lot of, like, follow me, you know, show you the way leaders. But do teams need kind of an a-hole leader, a guy who's not afraid to call somebody out or to kick somebody in the ass, slap them back into line? Is that something that's needed within a 53-man roster? And, you know, maybe does Vince bring some of that? Because we see him sometimes. He has that robe on, and he walks through the locker room and just looks at somebody.
Sergeant
and
at arms types
head.
Of guy. Yeah.
Do you need that kind of, I guess, edgy leadership at times?
Yeah, I mean, that always – whenever you need somebody to say something, it's always good to have a guy that can obviously just say, hey, you know, stop messing around, get the job done, do what you got to do, do your job, you know. I mean, there's always going to be somebody that's going to be vocal in the locker room. You know, me personally, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to do the best I can, you know, for the team, you know, play hard, work out hard, you know, do all the right things. You know, I'll say something if something needs to be said. You know, I'm not going to go into details on, you know, how that works, but there's always a point where, you know, enough's enough and you gotta say something. So I think anybody who's a lead by example type person can be an asshole at times. So that's just the way it is. That's just life.
Yeah. And Parcells used to call him a circle the wagon guys. You know, when things needed to be done, there were a core group of guys that he could depend on that would then get his message down to the rest of the players or be the enforcers.
Yep.
And, you know, I guess every team needs them.
And, you know, like you said, you know, maybe that's not your first instinct or your, you know, but you're able to do it. And I remember Mayo. I consider him a leader by example for the most part. But remember, I want to say it was his first or second year, Brewski made some comments in the media, and Mayo said flat out, with all due respect to Brewski, who he's not here anymore.
Right.
And, you know, it's now within the locker room. He's an outsider, even though he's a legend and all that. I think he sort of stepped up and did something that needed to be done. So I just think it's interesting to see how the dynamics.
Well, I always feel like if there's a guy that's always going to be an asshole all the time, what do you do? You just say, oh, okay, he's being this way again.
Right.
But if you're a guy that doesn't do it often and then you lead by example and you do the right things, and then you do that, well, then maybe it, you know, turns a little bit more heads and you pay attention to that more. So, you know, there's something to be said about being that way all the time and being that way when you need to be that way.
Right. We've sort of buried the lead here, as they say in the journalism business. You're a pass rusher, and your defense just acquired the best pass defender.
I was just about to go to that.
Arguably in the game in Darrell Revis.
Right.
That's going to make you feel pretty good.
I don't mind that. give me a half second more.
So you can get those lucky right place, right time plays.
Yes, exactly. Right. Oh, he was unblocked for the...
You know, you could have 25 sacks this year. It's because Revis was here.
Right. Yeah.
Revis was shutting everybody down. They were all coverage sacks.
Right, exactly. Just like the pressures. Like, oh, he doesn't get there often. Oh.
Well, when you saw that...
Just look at the tape.
When you saw that signing, you know, Aqib leaves, and it's like, uh-oh. And then all of a sudden, they sign Revis. Were you surprised? I mean,
No, you know what? Again, when you're in the NFL a little bit of time here, there's always going to be something that is different that you weren't expecting. So you expect that, you know, obviously, that there's always going to be some type of change that, you know, you didn't think was going to happen. And, you know, you lose a guy, unfortunately, to free agency. That happens all the time. And then you get a guy that's pretty good.
Yeah.
So I don't mind it. You know, again,
arguably the best.
Yeah.
Revis Island.
Yeah.
And, you know, having played against him with the Jets and, you know, him always being a very good player and, you know, a year removed from the injury that he had, he's going to be even a better player. So, you know, I'm good with that. And, you know, just give me a little more time.
That's
awesome. Without giving away state secrets, so to speak, you guys played a good amount of man already. He's obviously known as sort of a man coverage guy. Browner, who's a big man, physical man coverage type guy. As a defensive end and a pass rusher, how does that affect what you do if you're playing a lot of man coverage behind you?
Who you're playing? Who's the quarterback? Because if you got man coverage and their backs are turned and
he
scrambles
runs for 30 yards,
exactly. So anytime you're in man coverage, it's up to the D line to keep your pass rush lane, so you can't go crazy as far as, you know, being out of control up the field, or, you know, the tackles getting too wide and him stepping up in the pocket and running for a first down.
He might be playing Michael Vick twice. Who knows?
Yeah, he's with New York now, so.
Yeah.
You never know. You know, it's not the first time we've played a mobile quarterback.
Right.
So.
Cam Newton. So are you here for the duration until minicamp in June, or are you going to be back and forth?
No, you know, I'll be here working out again. You know, I got the fam here, and, you know, we'll be here. Hanging out, working out. And
Pain is your friend.
Pain is your
dad
friend.
Says,
that's the old man, Mike Ninkovich.
Yeah.
Just retired, 35-year iron worker.
That's the thing. It's not fair. Like, your pain is, I did two extra reps on the bench press.
Yeah.
Your dad's an iron worker.
No,
he smashes his finger between
two steel beams or something.
Yeah.
A little different.
Know, they're doing the work out here, expanding the whole football area, and they just recently put up the steel girders there. And I see the guys, you know, they were only one floor up walking on those steel girders. When you worked for your dad, were you, like, up nine floors?
I was, you know, like, I was tied off the whole time. But those guys are, you know, like, you watch them and you're like, oh, my gosh, those guys are crazy.
Idiots.
Because, you know, they're so good. They're so balanced and good and fast. Because
everything,
you know, time is money, right? So the faster you can get things done, you know, the more money you're going to make in the long run. And, you know, they're climbing around on everything, putting beams up, and, you know, if they fall, they're
dead,
not alive. You
know,
they're definitely not alive.
Life goes on,
but you don't fall, because, you know, that's one of those things that you get good at it, and you're cautious, but you're still, you know, knowing your surroundings. And,
but is there a test? Like, there's got to be some people apply.
There's an apprenticeship. You got to go through all that stuff.
Because I did it. I did, like, land surveying in high school, and we did a bridge once, and I was absolutely crapping my pants. Places on my body I didn't know could sweat were sweating.
I mean, it's a family thing too. I mean, you don't just get into it. Usually, it's, you know, my grandfather did it, and my dad did it. You know, my cousins do it.
Yeah, so you couldn't not do it and say, I'm scared.
No, you just. Yeah. But that's what you got to do to support your family.
Right.
So there's nothing wrong with that.
Those famous photographs, like in the 30s and 40s, when guys were up in the Empire State Building in Chicago, like 60 floors up. And they're not tied on.
That was my grandfather. I mean, he'd sit up. You know, that's what they did back then. There was no safety. There was
ridiculous.
There was nothing. You know, they just went up there and, you know, again, you do what you do to put food on the table.
And then there's me. I went to New York last week, and we went to the top of the Rock, and I'm like, I'm in a building that's finished, and I'm sweating and clammy. And
well, you're a pussy. So.
Well, I am. I'll admit it. I'll admit it.
You can say that? Can we say that?
Yeah, it's internet radio. Say whatever you want.
Oh, well, whatever. We try to be polite, but, you know, you can say certain things.
Certain rules. Okay. Don't say anything about anybody named Kraft. Don't say anything about anybody named Belichick.
Yeah, you're in the building that Kraft built.
Yes,
so
stay away from those things, but, you know, an F-bomb here or there, it's not the worst thing
in
the world.
Well, yeah, but we don't, you know, publicize that.
You just called me a pussy.
Well, that's okay.
I mean,
the truth is the truth. You know?
It's the same
all right,
thing.
Guys. All right, guys. Come on. We got a table in between.
I got a question for you, though. You talked about, you know, changes every year in the NFL. And as a backup long snapper, a guy who early on in his career was a long snapper, sort of, moving the PATs.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think about that? I mean, the fact that you could kick a 43-yard PAT or a 35-yard PAT.
What's the option, though? So it's just the PAT. I don't even know the new...
Right now, in August, they're going to move the line of scrimmage for a one-point PAT to the 20. Bill had actually proposed the 25. If you want to go for two, you can still go for two from the two.
Okay. Well, then that makes it a little more interesting because, say, your kicker, it's windy.
Right.
It's a bad conditions. You know, your kicker, you know, there's something wrong with them, and you go for two, and that changes the outcomes of the game.
But do you like the change, or do you feel like it's kind of a gimmickization?
I think I could kick an extra point, really, to be honest with you. I mean,
you probably could.
It's a chip shot, right?
Right.
So, you know, the what's the percentage on a PAT field goal? It's like
99 and change.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, unless, you know, it's unless it's the Saints-Jaguars game when – Carney missed that one.
And that's the one everybody points to. Everybody
that's
remembers
the only
that one.
Everyone,
yep,
yeah, exactly.
They remember
that's
it.
The only one that they remember.
But it's even worse than that because I think Bill said, because Bill actually proposed this rule change and presented it to the league at the meetings, and I believe he said a field goal less than 20 yards or something hasn't been missed in over a decade. I mean, that's even beyond, I mean, a little different from a PAT, but that's how automatic it is for those short ones. The only thing that I find strange a little bit is, so it's a 43-yard PAT, essentially. But you could have a 35-yard field goal that's worth 3 points and a 43-yarder that's worth 1 point. It just feels a little it's almost
little
like
odd.
Shooting a 3-pointer from the free throw line in basketball.
It just feels a little bit odd. I mean, and then you think too, you know, when you have a team that scores a lot and you're kicking PATs, I'm sure that the kickers don't have to really get into it.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that.
So then if you're scoring
like in 07 when Gostkowski was kicking,
he's kicking
43 yarders
every time.
Yeah, every 5
minutes.
So
maybe at the end of the game, he's got to kick a 58-yarder, and he's kicked 7 long field goals.
We had not talked about that. That's a very different.
There you go.
And the other side of it, what that Bill has complained about as when he presented this rule was, you're not allowed to do anything to basically block a PAT. You're not allowed to overload or touch the center or land on anybody or push it, you know, all these things. Have you noticed that evolution since you've been in the league?
Definitely the PAT.
It's not really a block team anymore.
Because the angles are different. I mean,
it's like a patty cake team.
You can't, the way to get to a PAT is almost impossible just because of the angle. The ball is so high.
Right.
It's going straight up. Mm. When you're out farther, it's got the angles change,
right.
So you have a much better chance of blocking the ball.
You need
the
vulnerable
farther it's
shoulders,
out.
Shoulders.
Yeah,
you're not allowed to touch anybody.
Right.
You know, and
you need two guys.
Right.
You know? But that's the thing too. Is it's not it's harder to get to those unless somebody just completely doesn't block.
Right.
All right. Well, Rob, we appreciate you coming down. We're expecting big things out of the defense. Everybody's going to be healthy all year this year. No
all
injuries.
Right. Beautiful.
And go do 405 for 10.
I can't right now.
Oh, right now.
Right now.
Maybe. So, you know, a couple of weeks you'll be able
July
to.
I'll be close. You know, I'll be getting up there. Maybe 8. I can get it for 8.
Oh, 405 bench press. I'm thinking, what is he talking about?
Yeah.
He just talked about
Vollmer
doing 405. Do you not listen to your guests?
No, Seabass. Yeah. Oh, you said Vollmer. That's Seabass.
Yes.
I say Seabass.
That's his last name.
I like Seabass. That's the way better, you know, Vollmer, Seabass. Sounds tougher, you know.
It does sound tougher. Kick his ass, Seabass, like in the movie.
Cam Neely.
Yeah,
that's right.
All right, we'll take a break. Rob, thanks for stopping by.
Thanks,
we'll
Rob.
Be right back
thanks.
Here in PFW in Progress.